Hello, and welcome to the media outreach of Faith Alive Ministries. For over 30 years, Faith Alive Ministries has continued to answer the call to teach God's people how to live in this world. This charismatic teaching ministry has current bases of operation in both Oklahoma and Arizona. We are honored to share the gospel in the northeastern Oklahoma prison system, as well as in church gatherings and evangelistic outreaches around the country. We believe the message you're about to hear will inspire and encourage you and empower you to live the abundant life God has for you. Join with us now as we receive from the Word of God.
I shared with you last week that we need to prepare ourselves for miracles. I've spent a couple weeks on that. And we need to put ourselves in a place that we're ready. We're ready for God. It has been prophesied that 2015 will be the year of visitations, manifestations, and demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. How many of you are ready for that? You know why I ask how many of you are ready? You know what the church has done for 2,000 years every time the Holy Spirit shows up with a visitation, manifestation, or demonstration?
That's not the way we do it in our church.
It's happened every time. Every time that the Holy Spirit has tried to move us to a place of more maturity, of higher power, of greater blessings, the church has tried to go back to the old way. That's why we have many of the splits that we've had today. The Pentecostals came out of the holiness movement. The holiness was an idea that we need to live more like God. And it wasn't necessarily all rules and regulations. But the Wesleys came over and preached a style of living that held us accountable to standards. And the Wesleyan movement, out of which we get the Nazarenes and the Wesleyan church, the Wesleyan movement spawned the part of the Pentecostal revival. But when people decided, hey, I can't do the holiness without the power of God, so I got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they begin to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they begin to say glory to God and lift their hands and pray in other tongues and begin to be loud and praise God. The Wesleyans and the Nazarenes kicked them out. And so when I ask, are you ready for a visitation, a manifestation, and a demonstration of God? I'm not just making a sermon. I want to know, are you ready for God to change you? Are you ready for God to change the church? Are you ready for God to change your world? You know, now that you said yes, you're committed. If you start resisting this thing, you will find out that God holds you to the words you just now said. Where do I need to go? Lord, help me. In Luke, maybe I should just tell. Thank you, Father. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? In Luke, where are we?
Where's the Luke account of the triumphal entry?
What? In Luke, in the last week of Jesus' life, Jesus is heading for Jerusalem. This is a warning. I want you to hear this warning. Because you've committed yourself that you want a visitation, you want change. Now, I'm going to warn you, and you need to be committed to honor the visitation and receive it when it comes. When Jesus was getting ready to go to Jerusalem, he was going up to the Passover. He had to go to the Passover because the Lamb of God could not be crucified. He could not become sin any time except the Passover. So he had to go up. He had to be crucified. And
is it Luke where he says they missed the day of the visitation? No, that's Matthew, isn't it?
What? Luke 19 is the triumphal entry. Okay, I got it. Luke 19. Jesus comes. He's right there. He sent his disciples to go get the donkey that he's going to ride into town. And the people begin to praise him. The Pharisees say, rebuke your disciples. He says, if they don't praise me, the stones will immediately cry out. Verse 40, Luke 19:40 is we're going to pick up there. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Now I want you to hear the next three verses. If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto your peace. Listen to that. If you had known the things which belong unto your peace. But now they're hid from your eyes. Why were they hid from their eyes? Because they'd rejected him. They had rejected him, and therefore they had rejected the things that belong to their peace. They had chosen. Hear me. Everybody hear me. They had chosen to continue church as usual. Oh yeah, we're going to go to the temple. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to raise our hands. We're going to cry. And we're going to have church as usual. And because of that, they came to a place that they couldn't see their salvation, their Messiah, when he was standing in front of them. We're not going to have church as usual in Faith Alive Fellowship anymore. Matter of fact, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it just to be changing things up. But I can't tell you what the next service is going to be. These services are going to be Holy Spirit led. And they may be a little wilder than you've ever been used to. That's one of the reasons that as long as space permits, we'll keep that area back there because you need to express your praise to the Lord. I found it. The Lord was speaking to me. I didn't hear the words, but this is what I came to know during the conference in Fort Worth. It was make room for worship. And it was for me. I've always kind of wanted to dance, but I never had a freedom to dance. It was always like, I know I'm supposed to, but I have to make myself do it. Why? Because I was conscious of me. Because I was concerned about what you would think of me. And so I just decided when I got back, I found myself dancing there in front of 10,000 people in Fort Worth. They weren't looking at me because they were dancing too. But it didn't matter. So we are going to have this. But he says, because you didn't know in your day of visitation, now they be hid from you. That means they're stuck. For the day shall come and thine enemies shall cast a trench about you and compass you round about and keep you on every side. And shall lay you even with the ground and your children within you, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because you knewest not the time of your visitation. So that's a warning. You've said you want visitation. You better pay attention. You better make it a top priority. God is going to visit us. Now, thank you, Father. Why does God visit people? Why does the Holy Spirit do a visitation, manifestation, or demonstration in people? There are two reasons that you find throughout the scriptures. God visits the people when he has to pronounce a curse. Thank God we're not under that right now. But yes, he would come and he would visit the prophets and he would appear through them and work with them when he had to tell the people, hey, I've worked with you, I've worked with you, I've worked with you. You rejected, you rejected, you rejected. Now comes consequences. There are consequences coming on this United States of America. We are in the midst of a civil war right now. It's not a war of guns. It's not a war of physical fighting. But we are in the midst of a spiritual civil war in the United States of America today. It's not going to be 5 years from now. It's not going to be 10 years from now. We are in the midst of it right now. The forces of Satan are rising up and they're trying to take over our government. We have made history in the world. This nation being based upon the principles and foundations of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, and I've always been that way, has set a precedent in the world that no one else has ever reached. There has never been a government other than the United States of America that has existed under the same charter, the same government for over 200 years. Now, Great Britain has been around a lot longer than we have. Some other nations have been around a lot longer, but they've changed governments. In the time that we've had one government, I know that France has gone through at least five. I think somebody said it was eight. Well, France is still there. It's still a nation, but it's not the same government. We are coming back to a time when we again will be the light of the nations. We have done more to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world than any other nation on the planet. And yet now we find ourselves in need. Nigeria is sending missionaries to America. Indonesia is sending missionaries to America. Because we need them. Well, thank God for them, but we're not going to let ourselves stay there. And we're going to take serious this warning that if we don't pay attention when God comes to visit us, then we're going to fall and our houses are going to fall. So we're going to take that serious. But as I said, God visits a nation. God visits a people to correct a problem and to bring consequences. But the other reason he visits a people is to bring a blessing. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. Yes, sir. Yes. Correct that. Hold on to that thought for just a minute. Let's go to Galatians first. I'm going to do this in God's order. I stood up here. Galatians chapter 3. I stood here and every note that I had prepared, the subject didn't go out the window, but my method of delivering it just flew away. It just gone. So here we go. What has God's plan been for us all along? How many of you know what God's plan for you is? No? Not a clue, huh? How many of you have a clue? Little clue? Okay. Little? Okay. I'm going to show you at least one portion of God's plan for you. And most people, you know, most people get so involved in the details of the plan that they never get the overall of the plan. If you can't see the big picture, you can never understand how the details fit. If you don't know where you're going, then somebody comes to you and tells you, turn left here, go this far, turn right, go this far, turn right, go this far, turn right. By that time you think, I'm going in circles. Right? Well, three right turns is almost a full, brings you almost back. The fourth right turn and you're back where you started from. But you see, they may have been leading you around a problem, a bridge out. You know, you may have had to go all the way around it to get back to go where you're going. And so if you don't know where you're going, the details are not going to make sense. And then you're going to say, why should I do that? I remember I've told you about how I was trying to learn to hear the voice of the Lord, and I asked God to guide me in the everyday decisions. My prayer was, Lord, I've never missed you. As long as Debbie and I have agreed, we've never missed a major decision in life. We've never missed the big life decisions, but we have failed. I have failed by the numbers in my day-to-day living. Not that I did anything evil, but I just wasn't living where God wanted me to, because I had this idea God didn't think that much of me. I even told God, I said, hey, I'd do anything you tell me to do. I'll go anywhere you tell me. But if you really want somebody to listen, you'll need to get Brother Copeland or Brother Roberts or Billy Graham or somebody, because nobody's going to listen to me. Now that I'm beginning to find out this, I found out I've got a message for a group. So Galatians 3:13 gives us part of the reason. How many of you know why you're saved? Not how. But for what purpose did God save you? For what purpose did he redeem you? Amen. Because he has something for us. He didn't redeem you just to get you free of sin. He redeemed you so that he could give you something. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Oh, hallelujah, I'm redeemed. I'm no longer cursed. I'm free from the curse of the law. Because cursed, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. That is wonderful in and of itself. You could live in that verse right there. Christ has redeemed me. I am no longer cursed. I am no longer cursed. But God didn't say he just didn't want you cursed. He said, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Yeah. That the blessing of the Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Yes, that will include the promise of the Spirit being in us, but it also means the promise that God made, the promise that the Holy Spirit conveyed to Abraham. Now, that's why we got to have our visitation. That's why we've got to believe for it and we got to receive it. That you are to be blessed. Now, well, I told you, what's God's plan for you? Come on, verse 14, what's God's plan for you? That you might be blessed, the blessing of Abraham. God wants you blessed like Abraham. Go to Proverbs 10. Let's see what this blessing is. Let's see what it does. I was going to take you back to the blessing of Abraham and start on in Genesis 12, but that's not the way he's going right now. Proverbs 10. I'm going to read it to you. I want you to see it in your own Bible, but I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. I want you to listen. Even if you're reading your own Bible, I want you to hear the Amplified. Matter of fact, if I'd have known the Lord was going this way, I'd have probably had it up on the screens here so you could read it with me. Proverbs 10:22, the Amplified. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. You got that? Want me to read it again? Okay. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. That means when God blesses you, you're not going to have to work to get it, because there's no sorrow with it, and toiling, your working, isn't going to make it any better. Matter of fact, do you know what your work is supposed to be? You've all got a job. It's in the Bible. What is your work? You're told to labor. To enter into his rest. When you go out to witness, you need to be resting in him. You're not going to make that seed grow. When you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, you're not going to convince them. Matter of fact, if after you've told them, you keep telling them again, thinking that telling them again, they just didn't get it the first time, so I got to tell. You're probably going to drive them away. I think every one of us has done that with our kids. I know that even today, every now and then when I start talking to, especially Josh, I'll tell him something and it doesn't sound like it. You know, I'm real excited about it. Oh, this is so wonderful. And he just said, okay. And I'm thinking, he didn't get it. And I've had to learn, you told him. You explained it clear enough. Now shut up. I'm telling that to myself. I'm not telling him. Just shut up. Because you sow, one sows, one waters, but God gives the increase. And if you keep trying to get the increase by your telling it over and over again, you're probably going to drive a wedge between you and them. They're not going to want to hear you. You're not going to be welcome to come around. But the labor that you always have before you is to enter into his rest. That means rest in him. Trust that the blessing is doing its work. Trust that the blessing is going to do its work. Now, the blessing is how God works. The word blessing, especially the Hebrew word translated blessing, has a meaning. Let me see if I can get back to it here. The blessing is the Hebrew word baraka, and I'm going to read the whole thing. Blessing, it means source of blessing. It means prosperity. It means praise of God, a gift, a present, a treaty of peace. And it goes on, it literally has the idea of empowered to prosper. Now, how does that work? How does faith come? By hearing. By hearing what? So if faith comes by hearing the word of God, and God speaks a blessing to you, he tells you he wants you to prosper. He tells you he wants you to be in health. He tells you he wants you whole. He tells you he wants you influential and powerful. And you hear God say that. Does that bring faith? It should, if you believe hearing the word. When you hear God say that, that should be your faith. And your faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And faith brings things from the unseen realm into the seen realm, for faith is the power of God. So, if he blesses you, and it brings faith, that empowers you to prosper. It gives you an ability to receive whatever he says. Whatever you hear God say, you can receive. Whatever you hear God say, you can receive. If God says you can you? What would it be if you couldn't? What would it be if God says you can? And you say, no, I can't. What would it be? Be a denial? Be denying his power? It'd be a lie. But what would be the attitude of your heart? What would the attitude be to cause you to say, God, you're wrong? It's unbelief and rebellion. If God says you can, and you say, I can't, or you say, it'll never happen to me, it puts you in a state of rebellion. That's why you've got to be very careful in this day of visitation to hear what God has to say. You understand me? And you know, I'm not talking to lightweight stuff right now. I'm being really, really serious. It's a little different course than I usually preach, a little different way of getting there. But if God says, I will bless you, then what must your response be? I receive it. And then after you receive it, what does that make you? What? It makes you blessed. So your response is, I take it. I receive it. Mine. I'm blessed. Do I look blessed? Things around me haven't changed yet, have they? But I'm blessed.
Yes.
And then what happens? Proverbs 10:22. Again, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he added no sorrow with it. The blessing begins to make you rich. The blessing begins to change your life. God has said that the blessing is going to be upon you. What blessing is that? That's the blessing of Abraham. But if you really study it close, it's the same blessing that came all the way down through Adam to Noah and then to Abraham. That became really the blessing of Abraham, not because Abraham was the first one that God gave it to, but he was the first one that says, I take it. God said to Adam, be full of blessing. Be full of fruit and multiply. Be fruitful. Be full of fruit and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. What did Adam do? He said, I'm going to eat this tree because God said I couldn't. And so most of his seed was wiped out. Matter of fact, all from Adam, the only one that survived nearly 1,000 years later was Noah. All the other children of Adam were died. Noah was the only survivor. Adam didn't fill the earth. And then God told Noah, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, fill it, replenish it. Noah had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And they produced a lot of people. But they turned on God. God said, go forth, fill the earth. They said, we don't want to leave each other. Let's just huddle here in this little valley And we're going to build a tower and we're going to make ourselves a name, lest we be scattered. God said, be scattered. They said, we don't want to be scattered. And so only one tribe, one group out of Noah's children, the children of Shem, actually went on with God. The others turned to other gods. And they began killing their children, sacrificing them in the fire, you know, offering them to the gods, human sacrifice. But Shem came down and through a couple of generations was the grandfather of Abram. And Abram said, and God spoke to Abram and said, I'll give you the land. I'll make you a blessing. Let's go to Genesis 12 now. Genesis 12. When God approached Abram, he didn't say it the exact same way, but he did have the same message that he had to both Adam and Noah. But in Genesis 12, 1, and now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from a father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. See that? God appeared to Abram and said, this is what I'll do for you. But he'd given them the command first, get away from this family and out of this land. And as soon as God quit talking, Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. That was an action. So folks, one of the things you're going to have to do when you hear God's blessing, and I'm telling you part of it this morning, is you're going to have to say, whatever it says to do, I do. I receive it. That wasn't mean he was perfect. Abram didn't know everything. But he did know, I will make your name great. I will bless you. How do you make a name great? How many of you have ever heard of the Rockefellers? Most of you have. Was it just because Daddy Rockefeller made a lot of money that his name was great? Are there other rich people that you've never heard of? No, it wasn't just because of Daddy. Daddy made a lot of money. But Daddy, what they referred to as Old Man Rockefeller, he began to be a philanthropist. He began to give his money away. And he began to give it away and give it away and give it away. And there is still today, and one of the reasons we know that Rockefeller name today is because they created the Rockefeller Foundation. And that foundation has sent perhaps thousands of young men and women to school to get an education, help people out all over the globe, especially in the United States of America. And so we remember the name Rockefeller. I will make your name great. I will make you noted among the nations. And Abraham departed. Lord, this is what you said to do. If I want what you said, well, here I'm doing it. Now, I'm going to pause there for just a moment. We're going to come back to that. I'm not sure whether this morning, but we'll come back here to Genesis 12 and we're going to look at some of the things that God said to Abram. But we've already tied the blessing, what God says, to faith. Now, when God works, he's got a very specific MO. So turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 now. What will he do? I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I'll jump ahead for just a second while you're finding 1 Thessalonians. But in just a couple of chapters, you'll look over and Abram was rich in cattle, in silver, and gold, cattle and land, silver and gold, men servants, maid servants. He was rich. And that's part of the blessing. And we read in Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. I want you to understand before I get too deep into this, what that means to be rich. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Now, do me a favor. If you mark in your Bible, I want you to look through this verse, and I want you, there are several ands in there, and I want you to circle the word and. underline it or circle it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The reason I say that is so many people hear a message like this and they limit themselves. If God is doing this, if it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and God is doing it, it's His word, right? John 17:17 says, sanctify them, Jesus praying, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So the blessing, God's word, is to set us apart from the entire rest of creation. Right? Okay, I want you to, I need acknowledgement here because, you know, some of you want to still be like everybody else. You will get a car if you don't already have one, and you'll go slap one of these stupid bumper stickers on it that says, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. Well, maybe we're not perfect, but don't go advertising it because you're representing God now, not yourself. And He is perfect.
Amen.
And if we're walking in Him, we sang the song that when He's near, temptations lose their power. I need thee every hour.
Yes.
When you're near by your presence, temptation lose their power. Well, then why aren't you near Him? He didn't move. You did.
Yeah, that's right.
Your sins moved you away from God. He didn't move away from you. He sent Jesus to the earth to be with you. Woo. You're doing some amening, but I'm preaching better than your amening. He moved to you. And that's another reason I said make way for praise, make room for worship. Because when you begin to praise Him and worship Him, He inhabits your praises. He comes to you. Right? So, think about it. Think about it. Verse 23. Now that you've got those ands, we're going to look at that. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Here's how the blessing is working. His word, He has spoken upon you. He has spoken what He wants to do. The blessing of Abraham has come upon you by faith. Now you know that it can come by faith, so you have faith for it. Now, that word was spoken unto you, and the very God of peace sanctify you, set you apart, separate you from the crowd. But listen, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, not H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y. That means completely. You are completely removed from the things of this world. But I still have to live in the world. Yeah, you still have to live in the world. But you're not of the world. You're in the world. You're in the flesh. But you're not of the flesh. You're not of the world. The economy of this world can't touch you if you're removed from the government of the world. There's coming a crash. There's already things in works that if the devil has his way, the American dollar will crash completely. It will be worthless. You know, I thought about doing this, must have left it on the bed. Had pulling a dollar bill out and burning it. The only reason I chose not to do it because it's illegal. The dollar bill isn't worth anything. How much would that paper cost you? The other thing I thought about is, and this would make a good point, if I took a dollar bill up here that I was real, and I took a dollar bill I printed on my printer, which one's more value? Yeah, because it's what? The ink's more expensive? No, actually, the dollar bill that's real can do more than the one I printed out on my printer. But why? It's what's backing it. It's what it represents. It's not what it is. Get that? Okay? You understand that? But when you're removed and sanctified wholly, completely, thoroughly, there is nothing that can stop, that can touch you in this world. Begin, just let that sink in. Take that home and meditate on it. The television tells you there's allergies out there. Allergies are from this world. What are you allergic to? Well, if you got an allergy in your body, you're allergic to something that came out of this world. It's the pollen, which came out of the plant, which came out of the dirt. So you're allergic to this world. But if you're sanctified, holy, what do you have having the world upset you? What business do you have of letting it bother your sinuses? I'm being extreme, but I want to be extreme to illustrate a point. If you can see the extreme, you can a lot of times see the little day-to-day stuff. Now, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Then he says, so that you will understand this, so that you will understand wholly, and your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to see something. If you have King James, you will recognize that the words I pray God has been added by translators. I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, it says if we're walking in the Word, our whole spirit, soul, and body are preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But a reason I wanted you to circle the ands, to make note of the ands there, is because you noticed it didn't say just spirit. It's more than one. It's all three parts. It didn't say that it was enough just to be sanctified and blameless in your spirit. It said your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Yes, we start out in the spirit. God always works through the spirit. God has not chosen the rich of this world, but he's chosen those who are rich in faith. Remember that? Remember that phrase? The rich in faith? He did not choose just those that had a lot of money, but rich in faith. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're rich in faith, you will become rich in money. James chapter 2, verse 5. Let's look at it real quickly. Excuse me. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him? Has he not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom? He chose the rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. He chose the rich in faith. But I see some of you are still looking for it, so get there. James 2:5. He chose the rich in faith. God always begins to work in the spirit. Faith, Debbie, faith is listed under the fruit of the spirit, right? Faith is listed. That's one of the fruits of the spirit. Yes, it comes by hearing, but it's produced in the spirit. So see where this is going? It has to begin in the spirit. Now, the reason I had you circle the ands is because it doesn't end in the spirit. But I wanted you to see this. The ones that God has promised the kingdom to, the ones that God has promised all of these blessings to, are those who are rich in faith. So how is the blessing going to work? It works first in the spirit, by faith. It comes in your spirit, by faith. You have to receive it spiritually first. You have to begin to work at being rich in faith. Rich in faith. Rich in the spirit. How does that come? It means trusting his word. It means getting into his word. Trusting him. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Believing that God has worked in your life. And receiving faith. Okay? And when you receive that, you will find out that the next step, back to 1 Thessalonians 5, you begin to be rich in the spirit. You begin to be rich in faith, which is the spiritual connection, because it always begins in the spirit. But then your soul, you begin to trust the word of God, you work the word of God, you receive the word of God, faith grows. You become rich in faith. And faith gets to that place that it changes and renews your mind. Your mind begins to get on board with this, and you begin to see yourself different than you've ever seen yourself. You don't see yourself struggling. You don't see yourself having a hard time. You don't see yourself just barely getting by. You don't see yourself always having to beg. And when I say beg, you know, some of you may not beg. My daddy wouldn't beg if it cost him his life. My earthly father. But because he wouldn't ask God, because he's afraid of begging from God, he did without sometimes. But a lot of us get to God and we begin begging from God. We won't beg from one another because, oh, we know begging's under the curse. Poverty's under the curse. But we'll beg from God. Oh, God! Oh, God, I just need you to do this. I'm not talking about the song we sang that I need thee every hour. We have to have him in our life every moment of every day, all day long, all the time. But when you go to God, especially if I hear that whine in your voice when you start praying, and some of you can't help it, you still haven't got rid of it. If you can't go to God with thanksgiving and praise, you're begging. Stop it. Get rich in faith. See the labor I talked about, laboring to enter into his rest? You labor to enter to the word till you begin to see yourself seated on the throne of God, dressed in his robes of righteousness. Whoo! Whoa, man! I mean, look at him and look at Jesus in the book of Revelation. And he said he'll give you a new robe. What do you think that robe's going to look like? Is it going to be something plain? And he's sitting here, gold and fine linen and fancy silk. And man, it's beautiful. Is he going to give you some shabby cotton robe that's white as snow? But you notice Jesus didn't leave it just there. He put on a gold. I mean, it wasn't just a little band. It wasn't just a little chain. The thing covered his whole chest. You know, I see these pimps and the prostitutes. They'll put a little chain on. It's basically the pimps. They get a little bit of swagger, so they put another chain on. And not always, you know, some of them weren't. Mr. T did this, but he didn't do it because he was a pimp. But, you know, by the time he got through with the, what was it, the A-team? Yeah. That... By the time he got through and got out of that, he began to show up. He got saved. He got born again. But he was wearing chain after chain after chain till it hung from here down to here. Well, Jesus went from here down to here. Solid. So you begin to see yourself like that. You begin to see yourself as when somebody has a need. Instead of you being the one that's asking for somebody to help you out, you're being the one that reaches in and you help somebody else out. And that's how you begin to be rich and prosper, and the blessing begins to work in the soul. It begins to change your whole attitude. You become, instead of becoming the one that has the need, you become the channel of being provision. We are Christians, so we don't become the provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. We are not. But we have full access to all of Jehovah Jireh's wealth, all of Jehovah Jireh's goods, all of Jehovah Jireh's everything. And when we do that and somebody has a need, we say, I know where I can get it for you.
Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Woo! Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Wow. You know? We walk into the car dealership. What can I help you with today? I need a car. Well, what do you need? And you go through it. Well, I want blue. I want power steering. I need air conditioning, and automatic climate control, and all this stuff. Okay. Well, they go figure it up, and that, well, the list price on that is this amount, and we can purchase it today. We can take this off of that, and how are you going to pay for it? Will you take a check? Or do I need to go to the bank and get the cash? that dealer will swallow. I don't know whether we can do that or not. Well, you know, it's your choice. I can walk you to the bank and they'll hand you a cashier's check. But you don't need finance? Nope. No financing. No, that's, I don't make more than one payment. My down payment is the payment. That's all of it. And you go from the used vehicle to a quality vehicle to new vehicles. I just got to thinking about my granddad. My granddad wasn't even really what you would call a believer. His, I won't go there. Thank you, Father. I was going to tell you a story, and it just doesn't fit right. But let's say Grandma was the godly life of a righteous wife will sanctify her husband. Now, Grandpa didn't run around. Grandpa didn't drink or anything like that. But he just wasn't a believer. But I remember in 1965, I would have been what? 12 years old. In 1965, Grandpa left Kansas. And where did Grandpa go? Oh, he went to Detroit. What is he going to Detroit for? I didn't even know where Detroit was at the time. Well, he had to pick up an order. A few days later, here comes Grandpa driving back in. A brand new 1965 Thunderbird. He went to Detroit because he wasn't even going to let them drive it off the line. When it came off the line, they handed Grandpa the keys and he drove it home, and he never made a payment on it other than the first one. And every car he bought after that, same way. This 94 Lumina, he went to the dealership, he paid cash. I got to looking at the receipts out there. They have the cashier's check number on it and everything. He drove it off. Well, and it says payment zero. Number of payment zero. Woo! But that's the way God wants us to live. I'm saying that not to brag, but for an example. God wants us to live that way. And if we're going to be blessed, if God's blessing is going to work and make us rich and adds no toil with us, it has to work this way. It has to make you rich in faith first. You have to hear the word and let faith grow and let the word of God consume your life until you believe what it says about you and until you do what it says about you and until you are what it says about you. And then you have to renew your mind to that word until you actually think thoughts that you can't think it. It's impossible for you to even think failure. No what ifs anymore. What if? What if? Well, what if? If there's a what if, my God's bigger. What if you can't? I don't know what that means. There's no can'ts. With God, nothing is impossible. And that's where your minds go first. You don't have to go through this process of what does the word say about it? What would God want here? It just becomes, as you're sanctified holy, as the blessing's making you rich, it becomes that God's word and his promises become your first thought. They're your go-to. They're what you think before you think of any of the possibilities of failure. You think about the this is what God says. He says, I will supply your needs. I can't even see my needs not being supplied. Now, part of that, being blessed in the soul, sanctify you, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your soul, that the spirit and soul, we hope the spirit and soul make up the heart. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is love, is joy and peace. But if that is, if the soul and spirit make up the heart and your soul is beginning to be renewed, your mind is being renewed, then your will becomes God's will. Your will, you don't have to ask, what is God's will? It becomes ingrained in you. See, remember that the Book of Hebrews, God says, and this is the covenant I will make with them in the last day. I will remove out of them the stony heart, the heart that is hard. And I will put within them a heart of flesh, and upon their hearts will I write my words, my commandments. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that wasn't just Israel, that's us. Because the blessing of Abraham is on us through the Gentiles, through faith. The blessing is upon us through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, try to wrap this up here for today. Your spirit, you've grown strong in the word because you've listened to the blessing and you have made a choice to believe it. Your soul, you begin to change your thoughts and everything that don't wind up and think about that blessing, everything that doesn't line up with the blessing, you have cast down all the imaginations that don't line up with the blessing. You've taken captive and you've captured your words so that they line up with the blessing. You don't say, well, I guess I'm all right under the circumstances. You say, I'm blessed. Yeah, they'll look at you strange. Every now and then you'll get one that agrees with you. But most of the time, they'll just look at you strange. I kind of wonder about these border guards. I tend to go through these things. I don't know whether I go through more than some of you. Sometimes, when Debbie was in the hospital, I was going through twice a day, about every day. And when they asked, well, some of them would ask, how you doing? I'm blessed. You can go on, sir. I did have one or two that would every now and then say, well, that's good. And one that said, well, I agree. I think only one I agree. What? Your keys? Or? I don't know. But you need mine?
You don't have the keys.
Oh. All right. So, now your soul is being sanctified and being made blameless. Now your body. See, this always will come back. Folks, I teach, and part of it is a purpose, a way of imparting a message to you that we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. But to be actually the way God wants us functioning in this present time, that is incomplete. You are not complete in God unless you are complete spiritually, unless you are complete in your mind, your will, and your emotions, unless your thoughts and everything are lined up with God, and your body is healed. God wants you whole. And when, listen to me, when your spirit and your soul get in agreement, your body doesn't have a will of its own. It'll just follow along. It can't help it. Your body doesn't have the ability to make a choice. Your body doesn't have the ability to make a choice. So if your spirit believes that I'm blessed, part of that blessing is he took my sickness.
Amen.
He bore all my infirmities.
Yes. Amen.
And I am made whole by my faith.
Amen.
And when your spirit begins to grab that, and then your mind says, what if, and you cast that down, you cast down those imaginations, you cast down all that, and your soul has begun to grab a hold of that, your body doesn't have an ability to say, but I don't want to be healed. No, you're not going to get healing this time. No, your body just has to follow. It's been outvoted. In the mouth of two or more witnesses, every word will be established. You got three witnesses. You got spirit, soul, and body. You got spirit and soul in agreement. The body is outvoted. It's going to follow. It doesn't have a choice. And that's how God works the blessing in you. That's how he puts the blessing in you. That's how he brings that blessing to pass in you. But see, I started this out with the idea of a visitation. God has come, maybe through me today. Maybe he will say more to you in the coming hours. But maybe what I was speaking, I know there's been an anointing here to preach this morning. And maybe just the fact that I'm showing you that God's plan is to bless you. And that blessing will make your name great. It will make you a blessing. It will prosper you. It will heal you. It will do all that you can ever want. And so much so that God says, I not only will bless you, but I'll bless all those who bless you. Sometimes I have to pray for people who I know have come against us. Because I can see, I can look, I know what the curse of God looks like. Not the curse of God, but the curse that comes from rejecting God. You can see it in the eyes of some of the homeless that are standing on the corners in Tucson. You can see it when you look in the eyes of an orphan. You can see that curse. And if I know that God will have to, and basically his way of cursing somebody is just not bless them. The curse is already here, folks. The curse came when Adam sinned. God doesn't really have to put a curse on them. It's if they don't have the redemption and God's blessing, they're under the curse. And no person, none of God's creation should live like that. They shouldn't have to. There should never be a baby go to bed hungry. There's more than enough in this world. But when you begin to see yourself blessed, when you know that God is working, and you begin to see yourself whole, and then you begin to see yourself as the channel of the blessing, then you will begin to live all the time in the blessing. Oh, there's so much more I'd like to say this morning. I can't get it all out. But look what it comes up. Verse 23 again, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Be preserved blameless. Thayer's definition is blameless so that there is no cause of censure. The censure, the blame, was anything that made the sacrifice unacceptable. On that lamb, it could be a little cut. It could be a broken ear. You know, if their ears weren't up, if their ears weren't whole, you know, lamb's ears are a little floppy, but if it had a nick out of it, something bit it and tore it, and it was nicked. They couldn't use that animal. You are to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here's the blessing so that you can walk in that. And it comes back to the renewing of the mind that you can experience the good, the perfect will, the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I want you to live in that, but I want you to see that. We're going to talk more about what the blessing, the actual ideas of what the blessing does, how it's going to look. Because most of us won't see it until somebody paints us a picture, shows us a photograph, or at least tells us a story. When was the last time you saw yourself laying hands on a blind person, and when you took your hands off, they had perfect eyes that worked perfectly? Have you ever done it? Have you ever laid hands on a dead person and commanded them in the name of Jesus to live and not die? And they got up. Oh yeah, they'll kick you out of the hospital if you do it too often. What was it, John G. Lake? Was it Lake they tried to throw in jail for practicing medicine without a license? Or was that Bosworth? I think it was Bosworth. F.F. Bosworth. He just prayed for people, they got healed, and they said, you can't do that because you don't have a license to be a doctor. He said, but I'm not practicing medicine. I'm just praying. But they still put him in jail. Yeah, it'll create. Because when you begin to walk in the things of God, there will persecution come. The world, the church, especially the church, will do just like I said at the beginning. As they've done thousands of years, we don't do it that way in our church. We don't raise our hands in our church. We don't shout in our church. We don't dance. Oh, man, don't you know that your dancing days are over? Mine were over. Now I'm dancing again. Yeah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how to shut this off. I don't know how to quit. So I just quit. All right. Praise God. James 2:5. Spirit. The Spirit is the part of you that's born again. Yeah. It is the part that becomes brand new first. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You before your new birth were dead. Well, you weren't dead physically. Your body was still moving around, right? You were breathing. The doctors would have said, she's alive, he's alive. But if God looked at you, you're completely separated from God. Well, now the Spirit comes alive in God and has the life of God in it, in your spirit. But the Spirit, in order to communicate with the flesh, has to go through the soul. The soul is what's in the middle. On one hand, it's got one hand, it's holding hands with the Spirit on one side, and it's holding hands with the flesh on the other. And it continues to hold on to both. But Romans, and this is a whole other story, but Romans 8 talks about the spiritual mind and the carnal mind. That's the soul is holding on to the Spirit, holding on to the flesh, the carnal. But which way is it paying? Which one is it listening to? If it's listening to the spiritual side, you are spiritually minded. If it's listening to the flesh, you are carnally minded. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. But that decision is made in your soul. Not in your spirit, not in your flesh. It's made in your soul. Your will is part of the soul. You choose. Your chooser, if you will. Your chooser is part of your soul. You choose. All right. The spirit, soul, body. And God wants us so there's no censure, so there's nothing there that could separate us from Him. See, under the Old Testament law, a missing body part means you could not go into the temple. You were absolutely forbidden to go into the temple. Even if it was just a little piece of your pinky. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Again. Oh, Father, let your words live in us. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you.
That concludes our message. This message is copyrighted by Faith Alive Ministries and may not be reproduced for commercial or resale purposes. Duplication by individuals for the purpose of sharing the gospel is permitted. However, this copyright notice must accompany all copies made. For additional information and teaching resources, please write to Faith Alive Ministries, P.O. Box 321, Pryor, Oklahoma 74362. Or you may visit our website at www.faithalivefellowship.net. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.